This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The Nick Batum game in 2024. Great. It's Unsportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance. Congrats to Philly and Chicago last night winning their Eastern Conference play-in games. You heard Chicago and Atlanta right here on ESPN Radio, and you saw the games on ESPN television. It's Philly beat Miami 105-104. Unfortunately for the Heat, Jimmy Butler hurt in the first quarter, played through it the rest of the game, was not 100% clearly. MRI likely today as to whether or not he even can play Friday night at home against Chicago in the do-or-die game, which would stink because he would have potentially Jimmy out, and then obviously we already have Zion Williamson out. We know that per Adrian Wojnarowski's reporting yesterday. Miami was up 12 with a half, 51-39. They were up as many as 14 in that game. Philly had 12 turnovers early. Miami's in the first half. Miami's zone was phenomenal early on. Credit to Nick Nurse and the Sixers, who came out with basically a zone buster in the second half by making sure Joel Embiid got the ball, got doubled, and then distributed the ball or took it to the basket. But the key to the game was definitively Nick Batum. 20 points, hit six threes in the second half, comes off the bench in his 16th year, I believe, in the NBA. The other thing, and this is not a joke, for those who did not see this, it's going to sound like I'm making this up, but this is true. Philadelphia was down 59-48 in this game to Miami with 6:57 to go in the third quarter. The Philadelphia 76ers have a promotion in that arena where if the opposition misses two free throws, all of the fans get free chicken. The fans were dead / booing their own team for the first 2.5 quarters. Martin misses those two free throws. The fans go ballistic to a point that Mike Breen, Doris Burke, and J.J. Redick made a big point of it during the course of the game. Philly goes on an 8-0 run at that score, at that point, and outscored by Miami by double figures the rest of the way. This is not a joke. Nick Batum, chicken, and Jimmy Butler's injury did Miami in.
A lot of people are going to focus on the threes from Batum, and that's rightfully so. I mean, the three threes that he made in the third quarter were huge in terms of being able to mount that comeback, and a couple of those during that 8-0 stretch. But I think the biggest impact that he had was what he did on the defensive end down the stretch.
Definitely.
In clutch time, I mean, being able to force the backcourt violation on Tyler Hero, and then Tyler Hero coming off of the Bam Adebayo ball screen, being able to block that shot, which would have been the game-tying three with less than 30 seconds to go. Like, those are huge plays. And if you're going to have success in the postseason, you're going to have the others step up in that way. Last night for the Sixers, it was Nick Batum. It was Buddy Hield and him being able to facilitate. It was guys being able to come up and be able to star in their role. And I think that's going to have to be the formula for their success because you kind of know what you're going to get from Tyrese Maxey. You anticipate what you're going to get from Joel Embiid as he works his way back in shape. But what the Sixers' ceiling is going to be decided by is whether or not those others are going to be able to step up on a consistent basis like what we saw last night.
Yeah, so far early in these play-ins, the injuries have certainly been an unfortunate trend that's developing. Jimmy Butler last night and obviously Zion Williamson the other day with New Orleans. But Evan, you specifically have been so high on the 76ers. You thought that they were going to be a severe threat to the Boston Celtics. After what you saw last night, are you still there?
No, I'm not, Smalls. It's a very fair question. I'm not writing them off. I will just tell you, if that team that we saw last night is the team that we're going to see for the next seven games against the Knicks, I don't know that they're going to beat the Knicks. And I have been high on Philadelphia, but CeCe and I have been bickering ridiculously over was it out of shape or injury. Either way, Embiid loses in that scenario. Was he great in the fourth quarter? Yes, no doubt. But I don't think you nor me are going to sit here and say that's the guy that's going to take them to the finals, specifically the way he looked last night.
Yeah.
And Maxey was a little bit off last night, if we're going to be fair.
Well, it's the playoffs, right? I know it's qualified as or characterized as the play-in.
Yeah.
But it's the playoffs, right? It's playoff-level intensity. It's playoff-level physicality. And so for Embiid, that was the most minutes he's played since he's come back from the knee. So that might explain why we didn't see the best version of him. Now, he was much better in the fourth quarter, and we'll see how that goes in terms of his overall adjustment. But I am giving the Sixers organization the benefit of the doubt when it comes to Embiid's overall health. If he is compromised in any way with that knee, knowing his injury history and just his sheer stature, then that's franchise malpractice. Mm-hmm. So I am saying that he's healthy, and I'm basically intimating that because he's not what we've known him to be in the past, which is a guy that's capable of scoring 30-plus on any given night and dominate on the defensive end, I'm attributing that to his lack of conditioning because it's harder to adjust to playoff-level intensity, playoff-level physicality when you're not in the best of shape. He was still working his way back in shape at the end of the regular season. He's not there yet. So as this playoffs goes on, if they're able to go on a deep playoff run, I'm assuming that the version of him that the Celtics might see in the conference finals is vastly different than the version of him that played last night. And I'm here to say that if any Western Conference team was hoping that Boston didn't make it out of the East, the Sixers with Joel Embiid is your best chance. As much respect as I have for the New York Knicks, as much respect as I have for, you know, the teams in the Eastern Conference playoffs, I just think that it's Sixers or bust in terms of being a true threat to the Boston Celtics getting back to the NBA Finals with Tatum and Brown.
So let's talk about that for a second. And the highlights we heard coming in courtesy of 97.5 in Philadelphia with a big Philly win. We do want to give them credit, obviously, for coming back from 14 and beating an extremely well-coached and somewhat deep Miami team. Now, they did play without a point guard last night, which Nick Nurse recognized in the second half, pressure the basketball because Terry Rozier is not there. But I think if you're the Knicks and you're looking at Philadelphia, you need to run Embiid up and down the court, be as physical with him as possible to take advantage of the fact that he's not mid-season form in terms of his physical shape that he's in. So maybe even that means going really small and playing OG Anunoby at center at times.
But that's not what the Knicks do, though.
They are dead last.
I mean, 30 out of 30 in pace.
I know.
But they grind the game down. That's not how they play.
But you saw Miami do that last night, and they're not necessarily the fastest team in the world, right?
Yeah, but they're not the slowest either. This is the slowest team in the league.
They have to figure out a way. But they have to move him around because he's going to get exhausted.
Have to move him around as much as they have to throw bodies at the situation. And good for the Knicks that they have bodies. They've got Hartenstein. They've got Mitchell Robinson. They've got OG Anunoby. They've got bodies that they can throw at Joel Embiid to frustrate him a little bit, and I think that's what you're going to have to do. But the most important thing is limiting the others, and the Knicks can do that because of their versatility, because they got OG and Josh Hart who can match up against 2 through 4 on any team on any given night. I think that is what the Knicks are going to have to lean on if they're going to make this a long series against the Sixers, which I anticipate it being.
All right, so now are we writing Miami off? I mean, you know I'm not as a fan of theirs, but are we writing Miami off? Chicago looked great last night. They destroyed the Hawks, 131-116. Hawks are going to be an interesting offseason team, not for now. Hoop Collective Podcast, probably more for that, but they're going to blow that up. You know that. But Coby White drops 42 points last night. Was unbelievable. They're going to play Miami again, second straight year in a do-or-die game. Miami was down late in that game last year, and Max Strus, who's now on the Cavs, is the one that saved them, and they needed to be saved last year. We have no idea if Jimmy Butler is going to play. Boston is sitting there licking their chops because either they're going to get Chicago, who I think we would be surprised if they're there, or a depleted Miami team in that 1-8 matchup. Are we writing Miami off?
Yes, I'm writing Miami off.
How dare you.
Yeah, me too.
I mean,
with
Jimmy Butler not being healthy, I mean, even if he plays, he's not going to be playoff Jimmy.
Yeah, but you both are telling me you don't fully believe in Bam Adebayo then as a star. He's on the Olympic team. He's one of the 14 guys on the Olympic. Because
Bam Adebayo is a good player. He's a perennial all-star, but Bam Adebayo is not a volume scorer. And they're going to have to get scoring from someplace, right? Because, I mean, you mentioned it. Terry Rozier was out last night. I mean, Tyler Hero didn't cover himself in glory. He was 9-27 from the field. And so when you start looking for Duncan Robinson, didn't play. So, I mean, I just like when you start looking for scoring for the Miami Heat, it's just not there. And then you saw a Bulls team that put up 73 points in the first half of that game against the Hawks.
Yep.
Like, I mean, so I just don't know that they're going to be able to do that. And then Coby White, this dude is like a blur. I mean, he had 42 points and no turnovers last night. I mean, this is a guy that's second in the NBA in blow-bys. I just don't know that the Miami Heat have the defense, minus Jimmy Butler or even Jimmy Butler being compromised, to be able to slow down the Bulls from scoring the basketball.
So, Smalls, let's go here then. All of this points back to the Celtics, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to have a threat in the first round. Philadelphia, I have hyped up saying they're really good. CeCe just made a great point. Hey, if they get to the conference finals, at that point you have to believe that Embiid is healthy and in shape or else they're not going to get there. Mm-hmm. Are we actually adding to the pressure of Boston? We have said on our show that we believe Boston has more pressure to win a title this year than any team in any of the four major sports. Was the pressure increased last night with the fact that Miami and Philly are nothing spectacular, unfortunately, right now?
Absolutely. I don't know if it's possible to add more pressure to the Boston Celtics based on what you just said, but we had Brian Windhorst in studio, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, and he said that this Boston Celtics team in the regular season is one of the three or four best regular season teams in the history of the league. They've been right there for many years and have not been able to break through incredibly disappointing playoff exits. This would be the most disappointing playoff exit that they've had if they don't get it done. And if you have the Heat out of it, who obviously were problematic for them last year, if Joel Embiid is somehow compromised in any way or isn't 100% and they fall to him, I think we are going to have severe questions about Jason Tatum and about the Boston Celtics. And I think that there's going to be a lot of ripple effects if they don't get it done.
Yeah, the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference is the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest threat. And here's the thing. It's not as if we haven't seen this team implode at the most inopportune times before. Like, we've seen it happen. Like, again, last year against a Miami Heat team that was the eighth seed. Look at what happened with that. I mean, they almost got swept in the conference finals. Now, they made it a series, and it went seven. But I mean, it was one of those things that when the series tipped off, we kind of knew what was going to happen in terms of the overall result. They had no business losing to that Heat team, but they did. And so this is a scenario this year in the playoffs. They have no business to losing to anybody in the Eastern Conference. Doesn't mean that they won't. And that's the scary part about where the Boston Celtics are. And quite frankly, it's an indictment on all involved, whether it's Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, or Jaylen Brown.
Can I ask a really weird question, but I'm going to fast forward this. If Boston doesn't make it to the finals, if you owned that team, would you say to Brad Stevens, who's the team president, I'm sorry, you have to coach the team now. We're not paying it. Like, you're going to have to go back. Like, I'm not allowing you to fire somebody and then get somebody else. Like, either you know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, there has to be a penalty for this. And we know he was burnt out on coaching, and he's done a phenomenal job as an executive. But at some point, like, what are they doing? I can't believe that we're watching that game last night, and all of us went to the place of, oh, my God, if the Celtics don't get to the finals, that is a joke. But that's how I felt watching that last night.
I think Mazzulla will be the fall guy for Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Because, listen, it was the most unfortunate of circumstances that led to Brad Stevens' guy and Ime Udoka being fired from the job. Like, Brad Stevens doesn't have any control over that, right?
Right.
That is something that HR has to handle, and it was a scandal within the organization. Like, that is separate and apart from basketball. But Ime, in his first year, took that team to the finals.
Yes.
If they would have been able to maintain that continuity with their head
coach,
they
would have won a title.
We wouldn't have these same questions about what Boston could get done this year. So I think that's what gives Brad Stevens some runway. But that ain't going to save Joe Mazzulla's job if they come up short, if they don't get to the finals this year. And I'm not sure that they keep Tatum and Brown together, because that is a $700 million proposition when it comes to the total contracts of Brown and Tatum together.
I totally agree with you. All right, coming up, on-court basketball, fun games, seen on ESPN. All this is great talk, right? This is enjoyable. While that was going on, the NBA banned a player for life. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's Lil Wayne, right?
Yeah.
Boy,
check my baby mama.
Jovante is playing some songs today I haven't heard in a minute. I like it.
I'm offended till it's gone. No, when I'm at home.
Get it, CC.
Listen back to the podcast later where you'll hear CC mumble rapping without the music in the background on the ESPN
app.
It's not
mumble rapping. That wasn't mumble rap.
You were mumbling while you were rapping. It's not a mumble rap. There was some mumbling. Mumble.
What was the mumble?
There was some mumbling. You don't think there was a mumble?
No, I didn't think there was any mumbling. There are some words that I had to edit out.
Maybe that's what
I
heard.
Can't use
probably
on
smart.
Air.
We'd like you to be here tomorrow.
Yeah. Exactly. This is a family-friendly show. This is ESPN.
Well, we don't have to kick you out like Jonte Porter style, I guess, the NBA.
No. We don't have to go on Sportsmanlike After Dark with that.
Okay. By the way, can I ask one other question before we get to Jonte Porter? In a group chat, because I'm relatively new to iPhone, in a group chat, can you mute someone?
You can mute the chat. You can't mute the person.
Yeah, I don't think you can mute one specific person in a group chat, but I will look it up.
Can I trade someone in a group chat? Like, so Mark, our TV producer, is horrible in this group chat. He's like a 12-year-old talking junk after a team loses, and it's really annoying. And Rob, our social and digital guy, is not in the group chat. Can I trade Mark for Rob? Can we do that?
No, I don't think you can do that, but you can just start a new group chat.
And without Mark in it?
Exclude Mark and add Rob.
Do we want to do that? Or how do we want to handle
this? Mark's officially on probation?
I don't know. What do you think, Pat? I mean, you're as much of a hater as anyone, and you're even annoyed by this guy.
It's a lot of Nick stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's only going to get more obnoxious as we get ready to gear up for the playoffs.
So preemptive strike?
Yeah,
we take him out?
If you think it's bad now, wait until a week from now.
So
what do you think?
If the Knicks go up 2-1 on the Sixers in this series in the first three games?
Yeah.
Forget it.
Come on, man.
So are we putting him on probation until the playoffs are over?
No, what I'm saying is if you feel a way about it now, then you should probably get ahead of it. You know, the opposite of what the Dallas Cowboys do with their player contracts. Get ahead of it by starting our own new group chat and excluding Mark from the group chat.
Yeah, because what this has created is Mark's exuberance or over-exuberance on the Knicks is now created Pat just being a bigger troll because Pat doesn't care. So, that fuels that fire. So this is going to get ugly no matter what the next week or so with these
why is he doing this? Like, he's putting up on ESPNU making fun of Jimmy Butler. Hey, you know that Jimmy Butler got hurt last night? Jimmy Butler has an MCL injury that he's going for an MRI. Like, that's not what we're doing. We're not going to make fun of an athlete getting hurt. I want him out. Rob in, Mark
out. You're voting him off the island.
I'm voting him up. Like, the NFL owners into Belichick.
Robert Kraft?
All right, let's take a vote.
Robert Kraft in this scenario, Ev?
Yeah.
You feel good about that?
Yeah. Oh. And if somebody comes to me for a reference, I'll be Arthur Blank with him. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And real quick, Canty, as we talked about earlier about this series, this Knicks Knicks 76ers series, looking at our friends at ESPN Bet, that line has now moved slightly. So this morning it was an even series at one minus 110, both of them. Now it's at Philly minus 115, Knicks minus 105.
Which doesn't make
sense. Wait, they gave Philly more of the
advantage? So now it was last night and early this morning, it was even. Now, I'm assuming it's because of the money, it's now Philly is a slight favorite in that series.
Which makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm confused by that.
It makes not based off of what we saw last night, it just makes no sense.
Yeah, even though Philly has won 9 games overall in a row, they actually looked worse last night, I thought, than they did previously.
I feel like the Sixers is a sucker's bet, though, because this morning, as Nuno said, the series was even. It was a coin flip. It was a pick 'em. But the Sixers had the third best odds of winning the Eastern Conference at plus 1,400. The Knicks were on down the line at plus 4,000. So it feels like Vegas is begging you to take the Sixers,
and I never
feel good about things that seem too obvious when it comes to
sports. Sixers right now are plus 675 to win the Eastern Conference. The Celtics are heavy favorites. It's minus 200. But I think that goes back to, hey, we're giving Embiid a pass for yesterday because when he came back, there was someone on the show who said if – the 76ers don't make the Eastern Conference Finals based upon the way Embiid was playing. It's a failure. I don't know who said that. I think it was Evan. But
it was me.
I think people are buying into that hype.
That's the thing. More people watched them last night than they did previously because last night was a nationally televised play-in game. I still think they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Don't get me wrong. Like, it would not surprise me at all. I can't back off of that pick now. I just thought they would be a little bit better than what I saw last night.
And last night, and knowing that there's a possibility of Embiid trying to work himself back into shape while adjusting to playoff intensity and physicality is why I said that the Knicks were going to make this a series. I said this last week.
Yeah.
This is not revisionist history. Like, I could see a world in which the Knicks pull off the upset just because I don't know that people realize how good Jalen Brunson actually has been over the last month and a half of basketball. He's been phenomenal all season, but he's taken his game to an even another level the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, but let's be real, because it happens, right? Like, Kendrick Perkins has been out here fighting that fight. I'm going to do my Knick fandom thing right now. Kendrick Perkins has been fighting the good fight, right? Literally, they've played well, and they play hard, and they play well, and Jalen Brunson deserves to be on one of the All-NBA teams, and literally, there's a lot of disrespect. So on that end, I get it. That's why this money is changing, and people are like, well, it's the Knicks, LOL. What happened the other day, right? The Knicks pitch to LeBron was released, and that became a topic. Like, so I think it's that where people are coming from. It's like, oh, it's the Knicks. They always stink. They're going to lose this series.
Can I ask a crazy question, though, since we're talking about the Knicks-Sixers first-round series?
You want to know who Jonte Porter has in that series? No, I don't know. Go ahead.
Jeez, Evan.
No, I wasn't going to ask that question.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, no, sorry.
But I'm just sitting here thinking about this. Like, we've all speculated about what the future of Joel Embiid is in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Like, is there a better landing spot for a star than the New York Knicks? And is there a better opportunity for the Knicks to prove to Joel Embiid that this is the place you need to come to win a championship?
Can't beat him, join him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just sitting there thinking about it. Like, think about where the Knicks are at. They are the 2 seed in the NBA, and they haven't had Julius Randle for the majority of the season, and that is an all-NBA player 2 of the last 3 seasons. Like, that's what they've been missing, and yet and still, they're in this position. Jalen Brunson is an all-NBA performer. I don't care what anybody else has to say about it. He's a guy that should get votes for MVP. Won't win it, but should. The Knicks have a ton of draft picks still, even after the OG Anunoby trade. I'm just asking the question, if Joel Embiid and the Sixers have another abbreviated playoff run.
Yeah.
Like, is it crazy to think at some point in the foreseeable future, Embiid could want out and New York could be a viable destination?
This is why Knicks fans like Mark just kill me. He says, I don't want Embiid. He's too injury prone.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Again.
So we're going to have to. So I'm so confused.
I don't want a guy that wanted
him out.
Embiid
last this guy.
Year.
Get
That's
him
ridiculous.
Out. I would tell you, though, to answer your question, I think the next if you gave me next 5 years, who's going to be better, Tyrese Maxey or Jalen Brunson, I'm actually going to take Tyrese Maxey. Who's better now? Brunson. Next 5 years, I'm going to take Maxey. So if I'm Embiid, I'm not as excited to go to the Knicks because I think I may have a better player next to me right now.
I don't know what Tyrese Maxey is. Here's the thing. I don't know what he's going to be in the playoffs. I don't.
Yeah, and last night was not a great game for him.
I don't know what he's going to be in the playoffs. I know what Jalen Brunson's going to be in the playoffs. He was on a team that went to the Western Conference Finals. And Luka Doncic was hurt at different points in that postseason when they made that run a few years ago. So, I mean, I've seen Jalen Brunson go off for 40 in a playoff game. I've seen it. He's done it. Not to say that Tyrese Maxey isn't a fine player, but Jalen Brunson has gotten you to the championship rounds. He's been a key cog on a team that's gotten to the championship rounds in the playoffs. So, I don't know, man. I look at what the Knicks are building. I look at the core players that they have. It feels like a place that would be a viable destination for a star. And here's the thing. If you're Embiid...
Wait, he should not be allowed to put up his own tweets on this. This is ridiculous.
We can't control him.
On ESPNU. Is this the second tweet
of his that he's put up? I think it was a different tweet the first time, right?
No.
This is take charge of the show, Nuno.
I can't do anything.
Take charge of this, Nuno.
I look at the time, and I'm going to keep talking. But no, I can't control him. He's in a different control room, and he's telling, you know, he's firing off tweets that he, you know, on our screen. So I don't know what to do. Although Evan, to your Maxey point, that contract is—he's going to be making a lot more money than Jalen Brunson. So he better be putting up better, bigger, and more numbers than Brunson.
But they also have an empty roster after this year that they could supplement with a lot of cheaper players potentially than the Knicks are going to have moving forward.
They can't have a deeper team than the Knicks moving forward.
They can't.
They can't.
Well,
they can't. They quite literally can't.
I will just say the grass is not always greener unless you're talking about someone that has True Green in their lawn. I love a beautiful lawn and I hate doing lawn care. That's why I use True Green. They're the official lawn treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens. The grass is greener when it comes to True Green in the PGA Tour. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 20th, get one application free. Visit TrueGreen.com for the best lawn at the best price guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, it is time for a little positive programming with Smalls, brought to you by Skechers Footwear. Stylish comfort for men, women, and kids. What do we got today, Smalls?
Well, guys, I am coming to you live from St. Louis, Missouri today. Shout out to 101 ESPN for hosting me. But the reason why I'm in my hometown is because I had the distinct honor last night and privilege to co-host the USBWA, the U.S. Basketball Writers Association's awards dinner last night with Tom Ackerman of KMOX here in St. Louis. But I got to speak and interview so many amazing figures in college basketball last night, one of whom was National Coach of the Year, Dawn Staley, who is just one of the most inspirational and, quite frankly, I think maybe the coolest person in sports. It was just such a privilege to get to speak with her last night. And as I was interviewing Dawn Staley, shout out to Evan for the assist on this one, he sent me this little nugget that I am not Dawn Staley's only admirer. The queen herself, also a huge fan of Dawn Staley. That's right, Beyonce, loving Dawn Staley and giving her a shout out in the form of flowers for her perfect season that culminated in a national title. Here's Dawn Staley talking about Beyonce sending her flowers.
A video thank you. Look at the flowers. I didn't even think they grow these here in South Carolina. Look at the merchandise, okay? If you know, you know. But I'm gonna read this card here, and if you know, you know. To Coach Staley and the entire South Carolina Gamecocks, me and my family watched your games and cheered you on through the entire season. Repeat, me and my family watched your games and cheered you on through the entire season. I'm so proud of you. All my love. Hit it.
Guys, can you imagine Beyonce sending you flowers to congratulate you? Or is there some figure in sports or pop culture that you would absolutely freak out if they reached out to you with a gesture like that to acknowledge your accomplishment?
Yeah, there are probably many, but I'm sorry. I have to go somewhere else here, Smalls. Sources close to me. How did you act when you were with Dawn Staley last night?
I acted like Beyonce. I fangirled over her. I could barely get words out when I introduced myself to her to let her know I would be interviewing her on stage. And thank the Lord I did that, guys, because I was glad I did that in person at the outset rather than on stage. But she's just such a commanding presence, and you just know that you're in the presence of greatness. So I was like Beyonce. I think we all are when it comes to Dawn Staley. We're just in awe of her.
Yeah, I think, Evan, you'd freak out over Jay Reynolds sending you some flowers.
Wait a second. I'm glad you said that.
Hold on, Pat.
Uh-oh. He's going into his bag.
I have my autographed picture of SportsCenter All Night host Jay Reynolds alongside of me every day. The greatest host of all time. I love this show, SportsCenter All Night. Yeah, so Jay Reynolds, when I started at ESPN, signed a picture of himself for me. So shout out to Jay. But if Michael Jordan or Tom Brady reached out and said, hey, congrats on the new show. Oh, my God. I'd quit before I started.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, Charles Barkley gave me a shout-out a couple of weeks ago.
That he did.
That's right.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, but what happened when Magic shouted you out? What did you do on that one?
I fanboyed out. I didn't expect that Magic Johnson would know that I'd just gotten engaged to my now wife. So, yeah, that was a moment for me because Magic Johnson was one of my sports heroes growing up. But I will say this. That all pales in comparison to Beyonce sending you a huge bouquet of flowers. Like when the queen herself, one of the biggest stars on the planet, decides to bless you with those flowers to congratulate you. And not only congratulate you, but to tell you that she's a fan of yours because of what your team has been doing through the entirety of the season and that her and her family is watching. That means I only not only have Beyonce in blue, but I got Jay-Z too.
Hope.
Like it's the Rocket here watching Louis Vuitton Don and the South Carolina Gamecocks do their thing. That is unbelievable. It is absolutely amazing. And it just takes Dawn Staley to another level in terms of her individual stardom.
Absolutely. Well, another figure in women's basketball that was right there alongside Dawn Staley in terms of popularity and success was, of course, Caitlin Clark. We talked about her fit for the WNBA draft when she was drafted number one overall to the Indiana Fever, head-to-toe Prada. But what we didn't realize, guys, is that she made history again, this time in fashion. Caitlin Clark is the first hooper, NBA or WNBA, anything, to be dressed by Prada for a draft appearance. How cool is that?
I wonder if Prada's ever thought about dressing a radio host that wears hoodies and jackets indoors every day. I'm just throwing that out there, hypothetically.
Probably not.
Probably not? Okay. Yeah. All right. Just throwing that out there.
I mean, it's a visual company because it's clothes. I don't know if
And you don't think that would work for them?
I don't think your aesthetic works for them.
They have Jay Reynolds ahead of you.
Jay Reynolds and Prada!
In the power rankings.
Well played, Pat.
Think about this in Prada.
Well played, Pat.
Jay Reynolds and Prada.
That there's reports out there that Caitlin Clark is nearing a shoe deal, but if I'm Prada, I capitalize on this. I come out with a Caitlin Clark Prada line. That thing will sell out like that.
Well, you can get Prada and the athletic wear because I think it's different. Like, I remember when I was living in South Florida full time, Dan Marino, I think, had every pizza place known to man.
Yeah.
The national chain, the local chain, the different style of pizza. He was unbelievable with that. Caitlin Clark can double up. Prada and the athletic wear. Let's go. Why not?
I mean, listen, why not? I mean, Prada's doing it. That's awesome for them. I mean, there aren't too many bigger young stars in sports or in entertainment, period, than Caitlin Clark. So it makes sense to have that association.
What else, Mills?
Well, speaking of shoes, we need to shout out Shohei Ohtani. So in positive programming last week, we gave a shout out to Ellie De La Cruz for doing his first post-game interview fully in English. He said it was very important for him to learn the language so that he could understand the fans and the fans could understand him. Well, we learned in the Soul series that Shohei Ohtani had a new logo with New Balance. He had unveiled that. And he recently did an interview talking about his shoes, his New Balance shoes, guys, and he did it in English. Here's Shohei Ohtani giving us a full interview in English.
Okay, so Shohei, tell us about your shoe.
Like a white and Doja blue, and my sole is so flat, you know? Like a sole, it's flat. I like that sole, flat.
Oh.
This is the more comfortable. And my logo and New Balance logo.
So, guys, we know that he knows English, but he feels more comfortable speaking in his native Japanese, which is why he leaned on an interpreter. So I love that Shohei Ohtani is saying, well, that didn't work out so well for me, so I'm going to really embrace
I take this. He wants to rid himself of interpreters moving forward. That's what that
him,
is.
Right?
That is a smart move. He decided to learn English so nobody would steal millions from him. Positive.
And while he's on his way to ridding himself of the interpreter, maybe might want to rid himself of the logo, too. Just saying.
You don't love the logo?
Nah, I don't
maybe
love it.
Maybe consult with Skechers. Smalls. Just saying. Brought to you by Skechers Footwear. Of course, positive programming, stylish comfort for men, women, and kids. America's analyst Tim Legler is going to join us next. But first, CC, tell everybody about Grainger.
Yes, for the ones who get it done, like the Sixers last night against Evans Heat. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. No topic is off limits.
I'm going to have on pink pants, suspenders, little bow tie, some bunny ears.
No breakdown can be questioned.
What's the big deal? No, this is a big deal.
He is America's analyst.
Let's see, kid. Let's see. Good luck.
Tim Legler.
You know, there's a lot of NBA to get to, but you teased something with us yesterday. Tim Legler.
What?
During the pandemic, you became a builder?
Yeah, basically a home renovation guy, which I have never done anything like that. Thank God for YouTube. You can do anything.
Tim the Toolman Legler.
That's it.
Did not know.
So not America's Analyst? We're going Tim the... What do you like better, America's Analyst? Because I know you do like America's Analyst.
I like America's Analyst. I like that.
Better than Tim?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. And I try to live up now. I'm just analyzing stuff when I'm by myself, like walking to the airport. I'm just trying to get myself ready for this show.
All right, what? Last night, Philadelphia comes back 14 down, thanks to free chicken, and beats Miami. That totally changed the momentum of the crowd. It was unbelievable last night. I know this is going to sound weird considering Philadelphia won. Who should be more concerned after last night, Philadelphia or Miami?
Well, first, your chicken point's a good one. This is a blue-collar city. Inflation is off the charts. Everybody likes free food. It did help turn the game. It's weird. It was a weird moment in the game. All kidding aside, listen, what I saw last night was probably the most uplifting thing you could have seen if you're a New York Knicks fan. Mm. I'm serious. Wow. Because I believed it, and a lot of people did, based on the way Embiid looked when he came back from the injury several weeks ago. Based on that and the way Maxey's played all year and some of the new pieces they've added, man, this is the biggest challenger to the Boston Celtics. And a healthy Embiid, I still believe that. He's not healthy. He's not right. It's obvious to me last night. And there's three things. When I watch Joel Embiid play, and we talk about injuries with him a lot, the three things I'm always looking for to see how right he is, I didn't see this last night. First is, does he change ends of the floor with a sense of urgency? He did not do that last night. Is he intent? More often than that, he spends a lot of time in the perimeter, but when he's really right, he spends a lot of time sealing guys on his back in the middle of the lane, and you can't move him, right? He didn't do much of that last night at all. And then the last thing is defensively, laterally, the way he can track a guard all the way to the rim from 20 feet and meet him there and block the shot or go block to meet a baseline drive and block it. He didn't do that last night. He was a statue defensively. So I'm looking at those three things saying he clearly isn't right. At first, at the beginning of the game, I thought it was the tightness of the team because he didn't look right. As the game went on, I said, this guy's not right. Look, he made shots. He's always going to – he could be out there in a full body cast and make shots. He's that skilled. But the shot making isn't going to get them through. It's all of the other stuff that comes with Embiid, and I didn't see much of it last night, and I think that gives the Knicks great hope that now they have a diminished Sixers team that's going to give them a good shot with home court advantage.
Okay, so you just called the Sixers – potentially the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. I mean, okay, so if Embiid's not right, no Giannis with the Bucks at least early on, the Knicks seemingly shorthanded, no Julius Randle, although they haven't had him for a period of time. Like this is setting up for the Boston Celtics to waltz to the NBA Finals to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. The only thing standing in their way is their style of play that they impose upon themselves.
So the
at
biggest
times.
Threat to the Celtics is the Celtics.
There's no question about it. That's the only deterrence to Boston with this team is when they fall in love with the three-point shot too often, too early.
and you don't let teams force teams to guard you with five versatile offensive players like they have. That's the only time they allow teams to sort of stay in games or maybe make a run at them because they just keep taking three after three after three, 45, 50 threes. When they get that number down into the high 30s, low 40s, their season average, you're not beating that team. They're too good on both ends of the floor.
So, Tim, all of that being said, barring any injury that's unforeseen, if the Celtics don't get to the NBA Finals, is it a fireable offense for Joe Mazzulla?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Fireable offense. I guess here's why that's a difficult question, because it's a very blanket statement, okay? It has to – I would be more willing to say, let me watch how it played out.
Okay.
Because if I feel like they've made defensive adjustments, they're executing against – let's say they see zone defenses. Are they executing against that? Are guys in position? But a couple guys just struggle with the pressure of it. You know, Jason Tatum has a bad series because he can't throw the ball in the ocean. I can't put that on Joe Mazzulla's lap. So that's too vague of a statement. But listen, this team certainly win the Eastern Conference. I mean, if they do not win the Eastern Conference, it is an epic failure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Get to the NBA
Finals. It's one of the biggest failures we have ever seen in the Eastern Conference with a 14-game lead over the rest of the pack. And the teams you're trying to get past are diminished physically.
No Giannis, no Butler, maybe no Embiid at full strength.
That's what I'm saying. And the Knicks are don't have Randall.
No Randall.
I mean, you name it. Go up and down the list, right? So if they don't, yes. But again, I can't sit here and say it's Mazzulla's fault. No, because some guys lump up, and you got to wait and see. You got to wait and see. I'm not saying they will, but it's got to be some context to how they lose if that were to happen.
It's amazing. You think that they have a clear path to the finals, but you're still cautious when it comes to what you're projecting for the Boston Celtics.
Definitely.
Because of the history.
And they've been on the doorstep how many times?
That is some kind of indictment on Tatum and Brown, isn't it?
For sure. It really is. But, Tim, given everything that you just said about how epic of a failure it would be if they didn't reach the NBA Finals, and I understand your point about context, but don't you think if the Boston Celtics fall short that there will be some ramifications with the team?
Definitely going to be something you're going to have to look at because, look, they have the best talent by far on paper, right? And those guys are all locked up. So you're like, what exactly are you going to do that's going to make you better? They would have to look at, again, the context of how it played out, and there might have to be something they change stylistically to how they attack offensively. That would fall on Mazzulla, and those would be internal conversations that would come from above, too. Because don't forget, one of the smartest basketball minds in the league is now in their front office, Brad Stevens. So there's going to be conversations to be had about, hey, listen, we came up short with this team. We've got to change our approach offensively because we're allowing teams to guard us too easily. Something like that would happen. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, if this happens, you got to split up Tatum and Brown. Jaylen Brown just probably outplayed Jason Tatum for the last 2 months of the season.
Yes.
So you now have two guys that are legitimately first-team All-NBA caliber players. You're not going to just break that up because of a failure. To me, it would point more to stylistically. And then let's see, does the bench fail you in some way? Do we need to change that? But I'm not going to sit here and say absolutely blow it up when you just won 64 games if you don't win a title.
We're talking with America's analyst Tim Legler here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We have about a minute legs as we keep on the Eastern Conference with their two games last night. So the last 4 or 5 years, we've looked at four teams really in the East. We looked at Boston, Miami, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. Boston, clear-cut favorite. Of those other three, can any of them do a complete 180 and get to the finals? Where we're looking at them and saying, injuries don't matter. They can get back there in the case of Miami and Milwaukee, or finally get there in the case of Philadelphia.
Milwaukee would be the one team, I'd say, because there's just a lot of uncertainty about Giannis, right? When's he going to make an appearance? When they say the start of a series, what does that mean? Is that one game, two games, three games? Well, I don't know. And I think the uncertainty of that makes me think it might go longer. Now, look, I think Indiana could beat them in the first round. And if he's limited, I think they will beat them. It ends there. But if he does come back game two, game three, whatever it may be, and turns that series around, you still have Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard. That would be the team that I would say, hey, they reversed their fortunes here, turned on a dime because of some other issues with teams, and they got Giannis back, and that might be enough to get them through at least to play the Celtics eventually.
Legs real quick, no Zion against the Kings for the Pelicans. They're going to get to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Kings Thunder, do the Kings have a chance?
I think the Kings win that game. I think the Kings Thunder. You're saying assuming the Kings get past them.
Yeah.
Kings Thunder, yeah, absolutely. That'd be a decent series. Oklahoma City, you know, they're number one seed for a reason, and they have Shea, and they have great continuity with their starters. Oklahoma City will win the series, but that could be a tough series for them.
You'll see America's analyst on Get Up and First Take coming up on ESPN and analyzing random things through the airport, like maybe sushi. Next, we're on Sportsnet.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.